The title I was assigned from the organizer is Left Flavor Violation from the Experimental Point of View. Now, this is an overview of my talk, showing a very, very brief introduction of the left flavor violation process. And I'm going to review three famous experiments in this field, and giving a short comment on this process, which is process changing left flavor by unit 2, and then showing you the idea of muon factory and the summary. Introduction. Lepton flavor violation, it's obviously lepton flavor is violated for neutrinos. But usually, if you say lepton flavor violation, which means lepton flavor violation for charged leptons. And this, you can categorize charged lepton flavor violation process to two. One is that violate lepton flavor number by unit 1 in each family, and the other is unit 2 in each family. Among them, for example, if you take delta Li equals 1, there is a mu e gamma decay process, as well as a mu e conversion process, a tau mu gamma process, and the sum of kaon rare decay processes. And if you take this process, one is muonium-antimuonium conversion, the other is famous neutrinous double beta decay, as well as if you think about muon, there are also related muon processes in this category. And this list shows the recent experimental limit for all of these processes. I took this from the recent PDZ web page. And if you look at these numbers, you notice that the muon provides most sensitive limits. So this is why the one of the reason is a large number of muons are available at the meson factories in the world. And from the experimental point of view, relatively longer muon lifetime make it easier to improve those experimental limit for the electron flavor routing processes. So from that point of view, I'd like to change the title of my talk to the muon lepton flavor violation from the experimental point of view. First of all, I'm going to discuss this process which violate lepton flavor number by 1. Because the lepton flavor is already violated at the neutrino sector, you can calculate the neutrino oscillation contribution to this muon lepton flavor violation process. Something like shown by this diagram, in which muon changed to the electron by a neutrino mixing. But according to the very, very brief calculation, this process is a sort of GIM suppressed, which is at the level of 10 to minus 16, or something like that. So this is very small. That means if we observe muon left flavor violation process experimentally, which indicates something physics beyond the standard model plus simple neutrino oscillation phenomenon. So what kind of process is possible? One is the SUSY with a right-handed Majorana neutrino. If you take SUSY plus seesaw mechanism and calculate based on the MSF large angle solution, then you can draw a relation, you can calculate the expected branching ratio to, for example, mu e gamma process. So this is one example of such a calculation showing the expectation as a function of mass of right-handed Majorana neutrino. And this band is a calculation, and this line is the current experimental limit. So this means muon left flavor variation provides a clue to understand the what is underneath the neutrino oscillation. And these three lines show the three experiments that I'm going to review from now on. This gives this level of sensitivity, so this is very interesting. There is also another model which predicts this muon left flavor violation process, like shown in this diagram, which is basically mediated by Suji particles, slepton mixing. And these predictions are generally a few orders of magnitude below the current experimental limit. That means if you just improve only a few orders of magnitude to see a potential signal from this process. And future experimental sensitivity is something like this. And this is the example of the prediction from this process, showing the branching ratio to the mu e conversion on titanium target as a function of selectron mass. And this is experimental bound, current experimental bound, and these lines are predictions. And for example, if you take prism goal, which cover most of the predicted region, so it does have very high potential to see the signal. So from that point of view, there are new generations of muon lepton flavor experiments are there. One is the mega experiment, which is looking for the mu e gamma decay, trying to improve the sensitivity down to less than 10 to minus 13 in the branching ratio. And the second one is the MIGO experiment, which is trying to search for the mu e conversion. The target sensitivity is 10 to minus 16. And the third one is PRISM, which improves this MIGO sensitivity by more than a few orders of magnitude. Okay, the first one is MEG experiment at PSI, which is trying to look for the mu e gamma decay. This is the international collaboration experiment, and which utilizes a pion beam, muon beam line, a muon beam from the Pi 5 beam line at PSI, and trying it's currently under construction of the detector and trying to start the physics run from 2006. And the target single event sensitivity is something around 4 times 10 to minus 14. And what is the signal of this experiment? The signal is looking for the this decay. So you see a positron and gamma going to back to back. So the signature is something like this. The angles between two particles are 180 degrees. With the energies are evenly shared, so these energies should be at 52.8 MeV, and they have to be coincident in time. So expected background is major backgrounds are two. The one is from a radiative Michel decay of muon. In the special case, if the neutrinos take very small amount of energy, this means the kinematics of positron and gamma getting very similar to the signal. The other one is actually, this is the most severe one, is accidental, coming from the two independent decays of the muons at the same time. One muon decays to the goes to the usual Michel decay, producing positron. The other muon goes to the, for example, radiative decay, and this gamma tends to have an energy at this. Or if the second muon, even if it goes to the usual Michel decay, this positron can convert to the gammas, and that gamma could be at the same energy. So this experiment is accidental background limited. So if you calculate the branching ratio of this accidental process, which scales to the rate of muon and the performance of the detector, and if you want to increase the physics sensitivity, you have to increase the muon rate. That means you have to improve the detector performance. And this table showed a history of those detector performances as well as the instantaneous muon rate chronical way. And this mega experiment is trying to achieve almost two orders of magnitude sensitivity by improving two things. One is using a liquid xenon calorimeter to measure the photon, which improves the timing resolution more than factor 10. And also, they are going to use DC muon beam at PSI, which actually reduced instantaneous rate of muon by one order of magnitude. As a result, they could improve two orders of magnitude. So this is the mega experiment. And there are another experiment looking for the muon lepton flavor violation process, but looking at a different signal, which is MIGO experiment planned at the BNL AGS, which is trying to see mu E conversion at aluminum target. Using pulsed proton beam at BNL and trying to start the run from 2009, and target single event sensitivity is something 2 times 10 to minus 17, which is equivalent to the 5 times 10 to minus 15 of the mu E gamma process. So sensitivity is much better than the MEGA experiment. And and if you look at the physics model which can cause this process, one is the same to that can cause mu E gamma decay as from Suji Gat. But there could be many other processes that can mediate mu E conversion. And these couldn't make the signal at mu E gamma because mu E gamma need a photon at the final state. But for example, this Higgs-mediated process such a thing doesn't have any photon in final state, so it can only seen by this process. And also there is another advantage of looking at this process, which is shown in this graph. This is showing the kind of normalized branching ratio of this mu E conversion process as a function of target Z number by for the several different types of interactions. So by looking at this plot, you can imagine that if you perform this experiment with several different Z numbers and comparing the branching ratios, then you can get information of what kind of information of type of interactions which is causing this lepton flavor violation interaction. So what is the signal of mu E conversion? Usually, if mu minus stop in the target, which it forms a muonic atom, and mu minus at the 1s state will go to two decay processes within the framework of standard model. One is nuclear muon capture, the other is muon decay in orbit. But if there is muon lepton flavor violation process, there could be neutronous muon nuclear capture process, which only produces electron in the final state. Electron and nucleus. But nucleus is very heavy and almost stopped. So almost all of the energy is released by this process, which is equal to the mass of muon, is taken by electron. So signature is very simple, monoenergetic electron emerging from the target. So what is the potential background of this process? The first important thing is this is the advantage of looking at this process. There is no accidental background, because signature is only a single electron, no coincidence. So there is no accidental background. Now, then, what is the major source of the background? One big source is muon decay in orbit, because muon decay in orbit does have an energy spectrum of electron whose maximum energy is at the same energy of the signal. But the shape of the spectrum is very steep. So, for example, this graph shows the energy spectrum of muon decay in orbit and the signal from the Monte Carlo calculation for the MIGO experiment for the as a function of observed electron energy. So, muon decay in orbit spectrum drops very steeply. So, by using a good detector to see the electron energy with narrow resolution, then you can cut the most of muon decay in orbit, cut out by placing a certain energy threshold. So by using, for example, in the MEGO experiment, you can reduce this background down to this level by using, for example, 900 kV FWHM. As the energy resolution of electron. And this energy resolution is mainly determined by the uncertainty in the energy loss of the electron in the muon stopping target. So this is the setup of MECO experiment. And there are several features in this experiment. One is which utilizes the solenoid pion capture, which increase the muon rate by more than 3 orders of magnitude, and which also use the pulsed proton beam to eliminate prompt background. And it does have good detector resolution and large acceptance by using a graded field, magnetic field around the target or a long detector solenoid, or using the thin material tracking detector or something like that. And this experiment is optimized to achieve the highest sensitivity from the point of view of the target thickness, muon stopping target thickness. Because as I said, the energy loss in the muon stopping target basically decide the energy resolution of electron. But on the other hand, if you use a thin target, you may lose the muon, which stop in the target. So this is actually the balance of those two factors. So if you compare those two processes from the theoretical point of view, mu e conversion is sensitive to non-photonic process, while the mu e gamma is only sensitive to photonic process, but the sensitivity is about 2 orders of magnitude higher than this process. So both have strong physics motivation. But from the experimental point of view, mu e conversion requires a new beam line. It has to increase the rate of mu minus. But there is no accidental background. On the other hand, mu e gamma, which can use the existing surface muon beam line, well, this is rate, total rate limited. So they do have different systematics. So it's very complementary to perform both experiments. But if you look at future, if you try to improve the experimental study furthermore, these two for the mu e conversion experiment is very attractive. Because of if you can build totally new muon beam line, which could boost the experiment furthermore. For instance, if you could build beam line which provide you narrow momentum spread of muon, that can enable us to use much thinner muon stopping target while maintain the total number of muon stopping the target. So from that point of view, there is a project called PRISM is ongoing in Japan, which stands for the phase-loaded intense slow muon source, which is actually a secondary muon beam line with accelerator technology, trying to produce the muon with high intensity, high brightness, high purity. So this is a schematic figure of the PRISM facility, which does have three components. One is pion capture part, which just capture the low energy pion emerging from the production target, and capture that pion and let them decay to the muon. Up to this point, this is about almost the same to the beam line planned for the MECO experiment. But the difference is after that, we are planning to put that muon into a kind of synchrotron accelerator ring and let them oscillate, synchrotron oscillate by 1/4 turn. After that, after this synchrotron oscillation for a quarter turn, which means initially muon does have broad momentum distribution, just a turn, then this broadness is converted to the broadness in the timing, but energy gets very narrow. So at that time, if we just extract this narrow momentum muon, then we can use this in the experiment. And that can improve another couple of another 2 orders of magnitude for this process. And we think we can do the search at this level. Now, what is the current status of this prism? Because the key component of the prism is the phase rotator. So the development of prism phase rotator was started in the last year, supported from the budget from the government, which is 5 years term support. So we are planning to build a prototype of this prism ring and trying to prove the phase rotation, a principle of phase rotation by the end of 2007. And after that, we will get another fund. We hope we can get another fund to have rest component equipment for the complete prism system and bring it to the JPARC. Then we wish we could continue the lepton flow evaluation study at the JPARC. So okay, let me change the subject to this process. One very interesting process is that process also violates the lepton number to 1, which is looking for the minor nature of neutrino. One famous example is neutrinous double beta decay. But if you are looking for something, the same thing you use using muon, there is two things. One is mu minus to E plus conversion process. For example, if you just count the number of muon available in MECO experiment, MECO experiment is able to improve the branching ratio of this process down to this level, and which is, for example, much, much higher than the current experimental bound. The second one is mu minus to mu plus conversion, which is originally mentioned by Michiel et al. At 1994, because this is a kind of second generation of the neutrinous double beta decay. And there is no direct measurement yet. Though there is an experiment using Kaon looking for the similar process, giving such upper limit to this process, but there is no direct measurement. And in order to do this experiment, we have to use the radioactive target. That means we have to have mu minus with very high intensity, with high brightness, to increase the statistical sensitivity. So I believe the prism will provide us a high intensity and narrow momentum spread mu minus b. This is the suitable place to perform this experiment. Now, this is the muon lepton flavor variation, but I'd like to further extend my talk to the new muon lepton flavor variation and other muon physics relevant to the physics that I've already talked. Because of, if you think about leptogenesis, which naturally lead us to the neutrino oscillation plus CP variation lepton sector, which is called leptogenesis. And if you add ingredient of Suji on this model, then which naturally lead us to the T variation in muon lepton flow variation process, as well as muon EDM. And these are actually the measuring the imaginary part of lepton mass matrix. So if we look at the Suji mass matrix, for example, muon lepton flavor variation is actually looking at off-diagonal component of the Suji mass matrix, and the muon EDM experiment is looking at the imaginary part of the on-diagonal element. And G minus two experiment is measuring the real part of this on-diagonal element. So these three processes, muon processes, are all related to each other. And for example, if you take the recent experimental limit, experimental result of the G minus 2, which showed 2.7 sigma off from the standard mode prediction, which naturally hint us the muon EDM at a level of this, 10 to minus 20 e centimeter. So based on this, we made a plan to do this muon EDM experiment at JPARC by using another prism which we call PRISM2. The difference is the PRISM2 is a phase rotate for the further higher momentum of muon. But with this facility, from our calculation, we are able to improve the muon EDM to 10 to minus 24 E centimeter level. So, muon factory is that the factory that we are proposing to build in the J Park at the Toka in Japan. This is the layout of the muon factory that we are proposing. And at this muon factory, we have many plans, but these three are major experiment that we are planning at this muon factory. One is G minus 2 improving the sensitivity to 0.05 ppm. And the second one is building PRISM and using and performing the mu-e conversion experiment at this level. And the third one is upgrade this PRISM to PRISM 2 and perform the muon EDM experiment at 10 to minus 24 centimeter level. So difference of this muon factory to the conventional meson factory currently available in the world is the muon factory actually do the manipulation of the muon beam. As I said, phase rotation, something like that. So once you establish the technology of manipulating muon beam by using a detector accelerator technology, what follows PRISM is the something that we can do with muon acceleration. One example is the neutrino factory, as well as there are also yet another lepton flavor variation experiment can be done at accelerated muon beam, such as mu tau conversion, which need a very high energy muon with very high intensity, which is only available at the, something like a neutrino factory facility. And at this facility, for example, based on the papers given by them, we could see many number of events in this process. Though this process should be background limited, but we'll have plenty of time to study this background. So, but this is just potential, a very good potential of the what we can do in the future with this muon acceleration technology. So the summary, lepton flavor violation is very interesting, which is relevant to the neutrino oscillation physics. Also, there is a prediction from the Tsuji-Gat. So this is really the motivation is very high. And muon is a key for doing this study. One is muon is giving stringent limits. And also there is, I call it muon trio, muon lepton flavor variation, muon EDM, and G minus 3 experiment. These are all relevant each other. And we can establish muon acceleration technology, and which naturally lead us to the neutrino factory, and so on. And PRISM, as a pathfinder towards the era of muon or neutrino factory, which has just started in the last year, and we would like to have this facility and at the high intensity proton accelerator available in near future. Thank you very much.
Please, questions and remarks.
You mentioned a possibility to study them to see if neutrinos are Majorana particles, U minus going into E minus or E plus, whatever you like. Your limit on the branching ratio might be 10 to the minus 17 or minus 18, if I understood correctly. On the other hand, we know at least an upper limit on the matrix element MEE. That is a few hundred millielectron volt. From that, you should, it's easy to calculate the upper limit on ME mu, the matrix symmetry you are interested in. Maybe the order of magnitude you get. Suppose that is a half an electron volt or one electron volt. How much do you expect in your branching ratio?
Oh, if you calculate the branching ratio for the mu max mu plus process from a neutron CW beta decay, this is far, far beyond our reach, even if we have this muon factory. But the point is there is no direct measurement. So that's the point. But if you just take one model and calculate it, it's just more than a few order of magnitude above. I don't have that particular number, but it's just beyond, totally beyond the reach. But that is only one byproduct. Our main purpose is doing muon left flavor version search for delta Li equal to 1.
They're thinking about supersymmetry.
Oh, yes, yeah, yeah. Prediction from supersymmetry is right around the reach possible by this muon factory.
Please.
I have two questions. The first to Prism. How far, what is the limit of the inverse reaction? E minus plus nucleon or E plus nucleon goes into muon, which could be or is certainly studied at Hera. There must be limits there. And I think there are even, they quoted once events even, and then they were refused. This is the first question. What is the limit for the inverse reaction? And then to Mikko, this large momentum transfer to the electron of 100 MeV, which you look for, isn't that hindered already by the form factor of the 1s orbit? I mean, that's a very big orbit which has to take the full momentum.
Oh, from the second question, that mu minus is immediately going down to the 1s state before its decay. So the lifetime of
muon. Whether the form factor of the 1s orbit enters into that rate. Usually, if you have a momentum transfer from an expanded object, you have form factors. And at 100 MeV, these form factors are quite small already.
In this particular process, yes. Because the final state of nucleon or nucleus is the same to the initial state. So it's a coherent process. So it's just a kinetics calculation. So there is no excitation final state there. And for the first question, inverse process, I don't know the exact number, but as far as I heard, there is a planned experiment looking for this inverse process by using inverse Compton scattering. And the estimation is the final sensitivity is not as sensitive as which can be given by the muon decay. And that's partially because of the muon, mu minus can interact with if it's the target with a rather longer range of time, because lifetime of muon is almost a microsecond. And if you calculate the phase space of initial state, this longer lifetime actually boosts the total rate a lot. But
other questions? If not, thank you.